As you have believed.
So be it done unto you.
I said, so believe you can stand up. I said, mister, stand up in the name of Jesus. And he just put his hands on the side and just shot up and stood straight up. And then as he's standing there, I'm seeing him thinking, I can't do this. I cannot do this. You know, unbelief. And so, crash, he crashed back down in a wheelchair. I said, get up in the name of Jesus. He said, sir, you don't understand. I can't walk. I said, wrong confession, wrong belief in your heart. I said, believe the word of God. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. I said, now repent and tell God you're sorry for that negative confession. Lord, forgive me. And he tried, but he couldn't get up. I said, okay, I got a hold of one arm. This guy's 6'6", weighed about 280. He's a big guy. I get a hold of this side. I tell one of the men, I can't quite raise him up by myself. I tell one of the other guys, I said, get a hold of him on the other side. We're going to pick him up. And so he got over there and we picked him up and his legs are like rubber. I said, legs in the name of Jesus, I command you to walk. And so all of a sudden he took one step. I said, that's it. Keep walking. I said, believe in your heart. And he took another step and another. We walked about a third of the way across the platform and all of a sudden both legs just fell out from under him. I got a hold again. This other guy's got a hold of him and we're picking him up. And by this time, we're just forcefully picking him up and he starts walking again. I said, remember, as you have believed, I said, believe in your heart that the word of God's true, that Jesus paid the price for you 2,000 years ago, and believe you can walk. And so he started walking. We get another third of the way, about two-thirds now, and all of a sudden his legs collapse again. I told that guy, I said, pick him up. He said, I can't go on. I said, wrong confession. I said, stop confessing I can't and start saying I can in the name of Jesus. And I picked him up. And we picked him up again. We walked all the way to the edge of the platform. I turned him around. I said, now then, I want you to look at that wheelchair all the way across that platform, forward to here, that back wall. I said, I want you to say, I'm going to walk all the way to that wheelchair, and I'm not going to fall one time. I'm going to make it in the name of Jesus. He said, Lord, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. And we walked beside him all the way back across, and he walked all the way back over there and then sat down in a chair. And that's the way we left Sunday night. That's what I call a grand finale. Jesus shows up. Oh, yeah, I started screaming at the top of my lungs, and all, they'd already closed down all the cameras. And when we started back across, I looked, and there's one of the cameramen had run, got his camera, had it on his shoulder. Man, he's taking pictures of all of this. And then when we get back, I pull up their website, and there's mine and Cheryl's picture right on the front of the website on the Vision Norway. And then it said down at the bottom, tune in at 7:30 every Sunday morning and again at 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon for these miraculous teachings of Thurman Scrivener. And we're going to have him on the air for who knows how long. I thought, God, there is no telling what you're going to do with those teachings. But I taught 22 sessions of 2 to 3 hours apiece. So they can cut them up and make a lot of stuff out of that. But hey, if God is in the healing business, and if he's in the miracle working business, which the God we serve is, don't you think we ought to see him do some wonderful things? Hey, if we're not seeing God do anything, you're obviously not pleasing him. You know, that was obviously my problem. See, but we don't realize what purity and holiness is. You know that? Purity and holiness is purity and holiness. You know, it means pure. Now then, I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And that's where our scripture is. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and by Christ Jesus our hope. It is written to Timothy, my true child in the faith. May God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Well, we all need that, I guarantee you. If God hadn't given me grace, mercy, and peace, I would have been dead a long time ago. Okay, now verse 3 and 4. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those who are teaching wrong doctrine. You mean we got people in the church teaching wrong doctrine? Did anybody hear about the judgments, since we're talking about judgments? Did anybody what happened week before last in Minneapolis, St. Paul? Nobody knows what's going on? Last week, the 19th of August, while we were over there in Norway, the Lutheran Church had a big meeting in the big convention center and their big church, which is right across the street from the convention center in Minneapolis, to discuss, is it okay to have open gay activity, homosexuals in our church? Can we have them confessing to be homosexual perverts and not repent of their sins and be in our church and live their lifestyle in our church? We're going to vote, is sin okay or is it not okay? And we're a church. Well, they was up there Monday and Tuesday and they discussed it. Wednesday at 2 o'clock, they're going to have the vote. Well, that Wednesday morning, the weather was like it is outside today. Beautiful. There was not even any forecast, bad weather, nowhere around. The forecasters were saying nice weather all throughout the day and the week. No storms, no nothing. Beautiful day. Just a few minutes before 2, all of a sudden something miraculous happened over Minneapolis. The skies turned black, and a great big tornado formed right on I-94. I mean, 194, and come right up 194, and guess what it hit? The convention center and that big church. Wow. And then it went away, after it shook them, and then it went away. You would have thought, yeah, oh, it tore the steeple off the church. It scattered stuff. It done devastating things. It did a unique thing. It come right down 194 and hit the convention center where they're having this meeting and right across the street, their church, and it hit both of them and done damage to both of them. And then after they all, you know, there was people on their face praying, and I thought, you know, ain't no use sending people dead out of prayer. They need to be repenting. God ain't going to hear their prayer. But they turned right around and voted, and it carried by one vote. It's okay to have homosexual perverts in your church, to living an open homosexual lifestyle. And then Friday, they were going to vote, is it okay to have homosexuals as pastors in our churches? I think that I don't want to be a member of the Lutheran organization. Do you? Now, isn't it amazing that nobody gets it, that this was a judgment from God? Oh, God? He's loving and merciful. He's kind. He would never do nothing like that to our big, beautiful church. Oh, yeah, He will too. See, we don't know God, do we? No, we don't know. We don't know what the judgments of God are. We have no idea. But I'm going to tell you that just a few minutes before 2 o'clock last Wednesday the 19th, when that sky was beautiful and clear in Minneapolis, and all of a sudden it formed into a humongous black thing and formed into a humongous tornado, and I saw a video of that thing coming right down 194. I mean, that thing is a humongous thing as wide as all lanes of the highway. And it hits that big convention center and that church and tears up all kinds of stuff. And then it's gone. You would think anybody would get it. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand God wasn't happy. But today we are so dead spiritually. When a storm happens, did you know last week, in what was it, about three nights ago, we had a little rainstorm out here? We had a little storm in the Dallas Metroplex. Y'all remember just two or three nights ago what it was, maybe four? Do you know how many lightning strikes we took in Dallas that night? 357. 357 lightning strikes in Dallas. Do you know, just a little while back, y'all remember, it hadn't been long ago, when we had lightning strike in Dallas and they had it on cameras. Did y'all see that on TV? They absolutely, on the news, my son has the news, I didn't watch it, but he told me about it. He said they were taking pictures of the sky, and all of a sudden there would be a humongous lightning strike, and it would hit a big transformer and blow it all to pieces. It looked like a bomb went off, and then there's a big section of Dallas right there before, just go black. And then all of a sudden, lightning would hit over here, and an explosion, and the transformers blow up, and another section of Dallas would go black. And you know, there was people in Dallas that lost Tom, you was involved. Your house lost power, didn't they? You lost a bunch of food and stuff in a freezer? Yeah, there was a lot of houses in Dallas. How long were you out of power, Tom? 2.5 days? 2.5 days. You were out there was some people out of power 2 weeks. 2 weeks out of power in Dallas because of a judgment of God. Somebody says, no, God would never do this to us. You don't know the same God I'm talking about. He will do this to us. And then Cheryl was telling me the other night that Dallas is the second largest homosexual group in the whole country. We have more homosexuals in the Dallas Metroplex than anywhere besides San Francisco. Yeah. And you want to wonder why we're having all the problems? Yeah. Homosexuals are everywhere in Dallas. I mean, I know. I've been down on Harry Hines and Oaklawn and down in there before. Man, you can get petitioned in a heartbeat if you're down there in the afternoon as a man. Oh, they want to take you to a room somewhere. Two or three of them comes, hey, you know, fresh meat. You want to go to town with us? No, guys, I don't do that. That's not a safe place to be. There's all kinds of wild, wicked things in this place. And, you know, the church is going to have to learn how to straighten up and walk holy before God, because I'm telling you, the judgments of God are beginning to fall. Did you know the other night in that storm, one of those lightning strikes hit a 19-year-old girl that was pregnant and killed her baby? And I haven't heard, but I'm not sure, but what, she hasn't died since then. And my question was, I wonder, was she married? I wonder if the baby was conceived in wedlock or out of wedlock. That's just like the little girl over here and buried in Justin. I've told this story many a time, but when you talk about judgment, there's a little girl right over here in Justin. Her mom and daddy used to be in my Sunday school class. And then when she was 15 years old, she moved in with a boy about 19 or 20 years old. And her daddy came to me and said, Thurman, my daughter won't listen. Will you go talk to her? I said, I'll be happy to. I went over there and told her. I said, first of all, I asked that young boy. I said, are you a Christian? Nope, and I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I said, okay. I said, but young lady, are you a Christian? Yes, yes. I said, well, you know, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17, and 18, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with this teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this teaching titled, Cling Tightly to Your Faith in Christ, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.